Forward modeling. Step one, the first predictor in the model is the best single predictor. You select the predictor with the numerically largest simple correlation with the criterion if it is significant. So if you don't have any significant predictors, you don't move forward. So let's say that we have four predictors, cleverly labeled X1, X2, X3, and X4. The largest significant variable is put into the model first, and by using this procedure, we're sure that the initial model works. Now, one of the things we're ignoring here is the possibility of multivariate power. It's not at all uncommon that a set of predictors, none of which is significant by itself, can have all or some combination of them that form a significant model. We ignore that. Step two. The next predictor in the model is the one that, quote, contributes the most, with two different definitions that come down to the same thing. One way of doing this is to build all of the possible two predictor models that include the first predictor and then one of each of the others. And then pick the model that has the largest R square. If that R square is significant and significantly larger than the R square from the first step. The other way of thinking about this is to select that variable that has the largest semi-partial correlation between the criterion and that predictor controlling for the predictor already in the model. These two things are equivalent. By using this procedure, we are sure that the two predictor model works and that it works better than the one predictor model. I mean, how can this go wrong? We got a model that works, now we have a model that works better. If it doesn't work better, we quit.
Second one seems much quicker. Why mess with the model?
This is actually faster to do.
Oh, really?
Computationally.
Calculate each of them.
Well, see, the R square that we want is just the, can be taken out of the diagonal of the inverse correlation matrix. You don't actually have to calculate this the way you and I would. You don't go in and build each of these models. It just flips one matrix, pulls them right out of the diagonal. Semi-partials are particularly annoying to do. That's why most of the time SPSS doesn't even calculate a semi-partial. It does the partial and acts as if it calculated the semi-partial to make the decisions. Yes.
Can you remind me what the difference between big R square and little R square?
Yeah, big R square is just used when there's more than one predictor in the model. Little R square is reserved for bivariate. SPSS always uses a capital R no matter what. Well, if we're talking about what from the bivariate analysis is comparable to the multivariate analysis, we want to talk about variance accounted for in each. So you can either talk about the bivariate R and the multivariate R, or the bivariate R square and the multivariate R square. But make sure that you're using comparable things, either correlations or variances accounted for. Don't switch back and forth between those, because R and big R square aren't comparable. You have to square that to get something that's comparable.
So you would have taken the little R you got from the first step and then squared that and then compared it?
Yep. On all subsequent steps, the next predictor in the model is the one that will contribute the most with the same two equivalent definitions. Now we're down to just two candidates for that last, that third predictor, because we already have X3 and X2 in the model, so we add X1. We already have X3 and X2 in the model, so we add X4, and we look to see which R square is significant and larger. Now notice, we're only going to compare if the R-square is significant and significantly larger than the R-square from the previous step. So we only work with models that work and are better than the last model we had. We can also think about doing the same thing in terms of the largest significant semi-partial. By using this procedure, we're sure that each model works and works better than the one before it. It's a fine idea. When to quit? When no additional predictors will significantly increase the R-square, which is the same as when there are no significant multiple semipartials. Now, this is consistent with this notion that you quit when there's no predictor that could be put into the model and improve the model. Right? Fits nicely with that. The difficulty with the forward inclusion model is what's known as over-inclusion. A predictor that contributes to a smaller, earlier model fails to continue to contribute as the model gets larger with increased collinearity. But this is a forward process. We only add predictors to models. So once a predictor's in, it stays there, whether it continues to contribute or not. This is the tenure approach to statistical modeling. Once you got tenure, you get to stay whether you continue to contribute or not. It's interesting to when I do this in workshops and I've got a mix of younger and older faculty, it's interesting. I like to do that because the young ones all think it's funny, the old ones don't. Of course, it's been interesting as I've gone from younger to older and talking to the younger and older. It used to be sort of an in-group joke with the youngers. Now the olders look at me like, you're not supposed to tell. Fairly small variations in the correlation matrix can lead to very different final models. Okay? Why? Because the first thing is the largest significant correlation. Then everything else depends upon what's collinear with it. Does that make sense? And one of the ways of showing the fairly small variations is that if you take your sample and split it into two groups and run a forward stepwise on each of the groups, you don't always get exactly the same model out of both groups. And that's a random split. That's without paying attention to all the non-random things that are different across labs, across data sources, across samples. You can spend a very long time trying to chase down one model that you get consistently using this procedure because it is so dependent upon the collinearity. Also, the resulting model might not be the best. There might be another model with the same number of predictors but a larger R-square, because this approach hangs everything on the first predictor into the model. That drives everything. Okay? So all of these problems are exacerbated the more collinearity you have among the predictors. So it seemed like a good idea. It is designed to be reasonable. The model's only accepted if it's significant, and significantly better than the one before it. Over-inclusion becomes a problem. And can you see that over-inclusion violates the idea of efficiency? And it might not even be the best, which was the intent. Smallest number of predictors, best R-square, best model, not a guarantee. And obviously, we don't want to give any sort of theoretical interpretation to what we end up with, because it's not being built on theory. It's being based on whatever collinearity pattern we happen to find in that sample.